folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live, August the 3rd, much to the dismay of those who believe in evolution, because we are the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. The evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And we very effectively communicate this to those people who on both sides of the coin. And you're welcome to call in and join the program. You believe in evolution, that's fine. We can fix it. Not a problem. You believe you came from a rock, well, we'll try. Okay, we'll fix that. Or you can call in or instant message us. Just call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. And go to extension 136. Unless you get a secretary, then just say, hey, I want to be on the radio program, and I'll put you on. Okay? Or you can AOL instant messages, America Online, which they can download for free somewhere, somehow on the Internet. Go to AOL.com and download the free program, instant messaging program, and then go to Dr. Dino Live is our screen name. Once you get on there, you get the screen name DrDinoLive, and you send us your message, positive or negative comments. You are welcome. Let's see. Okay. Several news articles here to discuss, and then we'll get into taking your calls and emails, etc. This is from Live Science. Scientists build Frankenstein Neanderthal skeleton. Anthropologists have built a Frankenstein Neanderthal skeleton, the first and only full-body reconstruction of the species. The result, announced today, is a shape no one expected. It's almost like making my own fossil discovery, said Gary Sawyer, one of the skeleton's architects. Sawyer, an anthropologist at the American Museum of Natural History in New York, and his colleague, Blaine Malley of Washington University, pieced together the skeleton using bones mostly from an individual known as La Ferrasi I. La Ferrasi I was missing its rib cage, pelvis, and a few other parts. So Sawyer and Malley had to scrounge around to find its parts. Sounds like a pretty good way to build one. Okay? The missing parts had to come from another classic Neanderthal that was similar, if not identical, in size to La Ferrasi I. The spare parts came from Kibera II, a 60,000-year-old skeleton discovered in Israel. Kibera II was previously known as the specimen with the best ribcage, pelvis, and vertebral preservation. The one in France is found in 1909 and is about 70,000 years old. Jonathan, did La Ferrasi man, wasn't that covered? Because Jack Coazzo went to France and Germany, went straight to the museum with an x-ray machine, and x-rayed the original.
Yeah, the same guy that spoke at the...
Yeah. I'm not getting any volume out of my headset. Am I supposed to be?
You should be able to hear yourself.
Nope, don't hear us.
You can't hear me?
Makes it nice and quiet, though, and I got the headphones on. Can't hear you. I got one headphone off, is why I can hear you.
You have the wrong one on?
Hello, try that.
Testing, 1, 2.
Nothing.
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, I think Jack Coazzo, who's drjackcoazzo.com, he's a dentist in New Jersey. He spent 32 years studying the growth of the human face bone. He's been a surgeon for years and years. He wrote an excellent book called Buried Alive about the so-called Neanderthal. In fact, it's scandal, I would call it. Okay. I would refer to the book Buried Alive or go to the website drjackcoazzo.com.
We got to get in the swing of things, too. We've also got a new resource, the Creation Seminars, Creation Bootcamp that he spoke at.
True.
There's a whole video. If they don't like to read big, lengthy technical books, they can check out the video. It's about an hour, hour and a half long, covering a lot of the different,
He went to them rapid fire, too.
Yeah, he's good.
Here's what they really found, folks. Yep. Okay. Well, good.
Talking about how he was chased for having x-rays. I mean, people were trying to hurt him.
Yeah, he was writing reports saying, hey, folks, you guys over here in the country are being defrauded because these are perfectly normal humans that are living, to great age. That's all they are. Nothing.
They tried to kill this guy, and they were chasing him. Well, I don't know. I can't remember if they were trying to kill him, but they were chasing this guy down and trying to get him.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was a serious trying to kill him, but they were not happy with what he was doing.
Very much not happy. Well, here's the thing. Evolution is a carefully protected religion. It's protected for multiple reasons. Number one, there's a lot of money invested, okay? And if somebody came along and proved it wrong, there'd be a whole lot of books have to be rewritten. A whole lot of college courses have to be canceled. A whole lot of degrees have to be retracted because they studied a bunch of do about nothing.
A whole lot of answers have to be given.
Right.
I mean, if they can't use evolution, then how are they going to answer, you know, the design we see in nature? How are they going to answer all that? They've already got a bad enough time as it is.
Well, they don't want to say there was a designer. I mean, anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
Any other reason, too. Okay. So, yeah, interesting. Go to drjackkawazo.com for the answer. Here is a couple more articles here. We'll take your calls. 850-479-DINO. 850-479-3466, extension 136. We are live on the air this August the 3rd, 2005. New book. You got to be kidding, Donovan. Where'd you get this one?
That one's from CNN, I believe.
MSNBC.com.
Oh, MSNBC, yes. Yeah.
Today. New book answers why men have nipples.
Yeah.
How many times have we been asked that online on the program here? Five or six?
No idea.
As if that is somehow proof for evolution. No. Why do Chevys have chrome stripes down the side? See, that proves they evolved.
It's funny, too. This is a secular doctor, an MD, and another humorist, I guess, who wrote this book. It's called Why Do Men Have Nipples and Other Questions You Would Ask Your Doctor About Something That Happened After Your Third Martini. It's a really long title like that. And he didn't even talk about evolution in his answer. So, you know, I sent out an email to a few biologists today and to get their information on it and what they thought about his answer.
Well, there have been numerous answers proposed to that. So I'm going to read this one, cold turkey. This is okay to read on the air?
Yeah, he does actually get to the nipple subject until at the end of the article.
Oh.
He talks about some other ones like, you know, why do we shatter our teeth whenever we get cold?
Right.
Stuff like that.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let me skip down here. Did I read the whole thing or just read the last part?
It's all pretty good. I don't know. I already read the one.
All right. New York. Have you ever wondered why your teeth chatter when you're cold or if you could really catch a disease sitting on a toilet seat? New York physician Billy Goldberg pestered by unusual questions at cocktail parties and other social gatherings over the years, put the public mind at ease in his book, Why Do Men Have Nipples? So far, evolutionist friends are listening out there, as I'm sure they are.
I ordered the book today. Good one.
Ordered the book today.
It was only $8 on Amazon, so can't pass it up.
Doctor says, it's really remarkable how often you get accosted, said Goldberg, who's 39 years old. There are the medical questions from family and friends, and then there are the drunk and outrageous questions where somebody wants to drop their pants and show you a rash or something. The book, subtitled, Hundreds of Questions You'd Only Ask a Doctor After Your Third Martini, co-authored by humorist Mark Lehner. Okay. I can think of probably 8 reasons that I know why men have nipples, but let me give it to you. I like the one you gave, though, John. They tell you something fast, right?
Oh, I didn't get that one. That was Eric.
Oh, there.
Yes.
People tend to know so little about their bodies as compared to their cars or their laptops, said Lehner, who's 49, of New Jersey. When I worked in a pharmacy, people would ask me medical questions all the time. I was just a 20-year-old cashier at Rite Aid. Chattering teeth is one way the body tries to generate heat. When the body gets too cold, the area of the brain called the hypothalamus alerts the rest of the body to begin warming up. Shivering and rapid muscle movement that generates heat then begins. Teeth chattering represents localized shivering. During the course of their research, Goldberg and Lehner found reports of gonorrhea, pinworm, roundworm, found on toilet seats, but catching something from it isn't common. The authors discovered that an office setting might be worse for your health than toilet seats. Charles Gerba, a microbiologist at the University of Arizona, found the typical office desk harbors some 400 times more disease-causing bacteria than the average toilet seat. Goldberg had compiled a list of nagging questions for several years before embarking on the book after meeting Lehner. The two met working on a short-lived ABC TV medical drama called Wonderland. Burning questions. What causes morning breath? Why do beans give you gas? Goldberg says morning breath results from anaerobic bacteria. That's making some of the bacteria, which are the waste products from the bacteria, sulfur compounds. So it plays bacteria doo-doo, causes morning breath. Makes you want to kiss your wife in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Doo-doo breath.
Right. Beans contain high percentages of sugars that our bodies are unable to digest. Goldberg explained, when the sugars make it through the intestines, bacteria go to work and start producing large amounts of gas. Been there, done that. And if you've ever bitten by a poisonous snake, sucking at the bite to remove the poison, as often shown on the movies and TV, is not only ineffective, but could lead to infection. Instead, the bite should be washed with soap and water and immobilized. The bitten area should also be kept lower than the heart. Medical help should be sought immediately. I'd have to disagree with that one. I mean, that may do it, but done, high voltage spark, you know, static generator. I got bit by a wasp about two weeks ago. Stung by a wasp. Went up to the Van de Graaff generator, flipped it on, got a high voltage spark right on the wasp bite. And within a half second, the pain was gone from the wasp. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was so fast. Just bang, gone. And then within probably 4 seconds, the swelling was gone. It was incredible. Okay, let's see. And why do men have nipples? While only females have mammary glands, we all start out a similar way in the embryo, the author explained. The embryo follows the female template until about 6 weeks, when the male sex chromosomes kick in. Men, however, have already developed nipples. So, as you said, Jonathan, it's just design economy, okay?
Yeah, he was actually wrong there. Some males are born with mammary glands, too, so the atheist wouldn't like that too much. They think this guy's a creation.
Right.
Say that.
We had a kid that I led to the Lord in Michigan that rode my bus to church for years. I was working up there. Had to go have surgery.
Yeah, I went to high school with a guy who did as well. Yeah.
Kind of embarrassing when you're 14 in the locker room, PE class, all the guys are looking at you.
Surprisingly, he became one of the most popular guys in our school. Not because of that, either. He was a real cool guy to be around, so he was real popular.
Had a good attitude about
it. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. MSNBC.com says, evolution in the White House. President Bush's comments on intelligent design, the idea that some aspects of nature are best explained as creation of an intelligent being, has sparked a lot of buzz over the past day. In response to a question about evolution education, Bush said he thought both sides ought to be properly taught. Americans need a basic understanding of science in order to participate effectively in the 21st century. He said it is essential that students on every level learn what science is and how science knowledge progresses. I agree. But evolution is not part of it. That's the problem. Evolution isn't part of science. It's a religious worldview that's mixed in with science. And I think they should go start their own class to teach evolution along with fairy tales of other kinds. Okay, Jonathan, who's on the phone there?
We've got David on the phone.
Hi.
All right, David, see if I can hear him here. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, yes, very fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question. I was curious, you based your belief, which one would you say is more convincing to you, what the Bible says or what you've looked at in science?
Well, I guess you'd have to define what you mean by science. Science.
Whether or not evolution is true, did you look at science and did it confirm your belief in the Bible, or did you look at the Bible and then you look back at science? I mean, which one would you say stronger in terms of weight you base belief on?
Which one should be the authority?
Yeah.
Or superior?
I guess I started off, of course, believing in evolution, teaching science, and was very confused about how does the Bible fit, and I tried to compromise the two. I don't know that I could distinguish between the two. I think both are equally valid in documenting the idea that it must have been a creator.
But you would, for example, you believe in angels, and whether or not science has anything to say about angels, you still believe it because the Bible says. Is that right?
Yeah, that's an example of something I would believe only because the Bible says I have no scientific evidence for angels. But as far as evolution, I would say that would not be. I don't believe in creation only because of the Bible.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say what everything you're saying is true about evolution and being, you know, there's no evidence for it.
Right.
What if the Bible says evolution is true? Would you believe it?
I guess in that case, I would certainly give it more weight and consideration. But even still, though, I mean, I have a brain and above average intelligence, and I would want to see some evidence. Now, some things you just have to take on faith.
Okay.
Like the angels, I just simply fear that really take that on faith. And the miracle, I have no scientific evidence to prove it.
But I mean, if the Bible said that evolution is true, couldn't you take it the same way?
I could, I suppose. That'd be a little hard to swallow, just like sometimes even some of the miracles are a little hard. Like,
yeah.
Well, if the Bible makes a bunch of claims about things that we can directly see, test, you know, observe and demonstrate, then it'd be a little bit different than the Bible makes claims about angels.
Yeah.
You know,
but you guys all believe that evolution can't be demonstrated or observed, all that as well. So it was, to you guys, it seems like that's the same category as ancient, right?
Which evolution are you talking about? Anything above microevolution?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
The stuff you make fun of. Basically.
Right. Yeah, I believe variations happen. And sometimes they're real bizarre, you know, great things, chihuahuas. But I believe there are limits, and that's been observed.
Oh, I understand.
Scientific observations, if I'm right.
Yeah, so if the Bible said otherwise, let's say the Bible said, talked about macroevolution. It was actually very explicit. Would you believe it because would you consider it in the same category as angels and stuff like that?
Well, I guess the Bible sort of does say that. It says God took dust of the ground and made a man. I mean,
oh, no, I'm not talking about what the Bible actually says. I'm talking about, like, hypothetically, if it said, if it described evolution.
Well, I guess it sort of does in that sense. It says God took dust and made a man. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I have a hard time, you know, scientifically proving that.
Yeah.
Just like I have a hard time proving that time can take dust and make a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you believe. I believe God can take dust and make a man, but you believe time can take dust and make a man.
Greatest helpers for Truth Radio in the past has been those of you who have signed up for Lifeline telephone service, long distance service, local service, internet service, and now the Lifeline company, Lifeline Communications, is offering service through T-Mobile. If you have a cell phone, or if you would like to have a cell phone service that really works and has really modern, neat equipment and a great approach to this whole business of cell phone, and you want to help Truth Radio at the same time, then may I recommend that you call 800, that's 800-311-2418, that's 800-311-2418. And tell them that you want to sign up for T-Mobile through Lifeline. Phone 1-800-311-2418. Your participation with Lifeline will help Truth Radio. 800-311-2418.
Hello, I'd like to know how to get to heaven.
Well, sir, are you a sinner?
No, I'm a good guy.
Oh, then you're sinless.
Well, I'm not sinless, but I've done more good than bad.
Then you are a sinner. In that case...
Well, what am I supposed to be? Perfect?
Yes.
Well, then how do I get into heaven?
First step is to admit that you're a sinner.
But I'm not.
I'm sorry, we can't help you. Thank you. Hello, this is heaven.
Compared to some of the people I work with, I'm a pretty good guy.
But we're not comparing you to others, sir. We're comparing you to God.
Well, that's impossible.
Okay, thank you. Hello, this is...
Okay, suppose I'm not perfect, then what?
Then you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for being a sinner.
But I'm not that bad.
Okay.
Wait. No, I asked Jesus to forgive me, then what?
Well, since he already paid the penalty for your sin, then he will forgive you.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Hour and a half. Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live, August 3rd, 2005. Jonathan, they predicted more hurricanes in August than before.
We got a whole basket, a bundle of joy coming this way then.
They're fun. I mean, out of fun, maybe a strong word.
Yeah, pretty strong word.
I've been here for three out of the last four hurricanes, and it's very interesting.
God. I've just been here for two.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a little windy, and power goes out. You know, after the one hurricane, I was up in... after Opal, I guess, years ago, I was preaching. I called one of my friends. I said, how was it during the hurricane? They said, oh, man, we felt just like the people in the White House. I said, really? He said, yeah, we were without power, full of hot air, and in the dark. That's when Bill Clinton was president. Okay.
All right, dark ages.
We have is it David on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir, David. I forgot where
to go. I'll try to summarize my point, and if you don't mind, I have another question.
Sure, go ahead.
Short.
No problem.
Okay, well, beginning of your show, you know, you say, you know, evolution is the most dangerous and stupid idea ever going on.
Right, the dumbest and most dangerous idea in the history of the world. I forgot to say it at this thing. That's
there
right.
We go.
Right.
Well, I had a question. You also think it's, I've heard you actually a couple times say it is stupid to believe in evolution, to think you came from a rock, right?
Correct. I think it's real stupid.
Yeah. So would you say that it's stupid because there's no evidence for it?
Not even no evidence, not even a logical theory of how it can happen. Think about it.
Oh, I know. I understand.
Do you think it's logical to believe you came from a rock? I mean, is that logical?
Okay. Well, would you consider belief in angels similar or no?
I guess that would be miraculous. You're changing because you're involving a supernatural creator, whereas evolution would say this new came from a rock without a supernatural creator.
Yeah. It'd
be stupid to say a computer could happen by natural forces of waves beating.
I understand.
Okay.
Well, the point is that you think it's stupid not only because it defies logic, but because there's no evidence.
There's certainly no evidence, and it defies logic.
It's yeah,
stupid for more reasons than that, if I can give it a minute.
So would you consider belief in angels because I think it's pretty clear there's no evidence for it, and it defies the same thing?
I wouldn't say it defies logic, because if there's a creator, it's logical that he would have a variety of created beings.
Really?
Man, animals, plants, things on the earth, things in
So basically, since God can do anything, it's not that big of a jump that he'd make, supernatural angels, basically.
Right.
But it is
purely a point of faith. I would take it purely on faith.
If someone were to accept evolution by faith, do you think that's reasonable?
Again, you're dealing, I don't know if I can jump in here real quick, still dealing with something completely different.
Okay.
Evolution explains about things that we can look at, the animals today and so forth. When you're dealing with angels, you have to take that on faith, because you can't, call down an angel and check his, his arm length or anything like that. You just can't do it.
But if
the Bible or if someone says something pertaining to the natural world that we can look at, then it's in a completely different category.
Okay. Another question. You guys talk about, you say evolutionists say dogs can produce non-dogs, but we don't observe that today. Is that right?
Well, I would say evolutionists would say dogs came from non-dogs.
Okay. You also say we've never observed a dog produce a non-dog, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and you say evolutionists claim that this happened, so why can't we see it today, basically?
Well, I'm careful to distinguish between the two. Do you believe, or does the evolution theory teach, that dogs will someday, over X number of billion years, become something that is not dogs?
Well, I think we kind of have a problem with naming a certain animal. I think that it's fair to say that over time there will be significant changes, but in terms of like saying it will produce a non-dog.
Okay, do you think it could ever produce something, say, with wings that could fly?
We're talking about a dog?
The dog kind, the whole family of penis.
The offspring of a dog?
Yeah.
So, I want to know, who claims that a dog can produce a dog? I was curious.
Well, evolutionists claim that a rock can produce a dog.
Okay. Can you name one evolutionist that has claimed that dogs produce non-dogs?
No, but I think all of them would claim dogs came from non-dogs.
Oh, I know. But Hovind, then that's like kind of saying, obviously, it's you're switching it. You're claiming that they also say dogs produce non-dogs.
No, I don't think I've ever said that.
Okay. Well, then why do you ask people to produce an example?
Well, I think in this case, the term dog would be a variable.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, one creature, X, will not always produce X according to the evolutionist. X will produce something, X plus 2.
Why can't you or any other evolutionist admit there are limits to the variation?
Well, me personally, I don't know enough about that.
Okay, would you admit that farmers for years have been raising a variety of, pick anything, cows or corn, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Would you agree that no matter how hard we try, with the dogs as an example, they try to raise exotic breeds like the Shar Pei and stuff like that, would you agree that so far all we've observed with human history is wild varieties of obviously the same kind, i.e. dogs?
I'd say that we've observed a lot of varieties, but, you also have to admit that the amount of time that we
I'm talking about what we've observed. So I just want you to admit that as far as scientific observation, dogs have always produced dogs. Why is it so hard for you to admit that?
No, it's not hard.
It is impossible for you to admit that.
No, it's an issue of terms, Kent. I mean, I could easily say that, you know, birds produce birds, but then that sounds like I'm saying there's no difference between an ostrich and a hummingbird. I mean, there's no, I mean, we call them birds. That doesn't mean that there's no differences between them.
Yeah, and I've said many times, I don't know how many original varieties of birds there were. There may have been 100 different varieties, basic kinds of birds.
Yeah, and why do you think that anyway? I was curious.
Well, I think ostrich and hummingbird is a good example. I don't think it's possible they had a common ancestor.
Why not?
I think they had a common designer.
Oh, I know, but you think that dog and wolf share a common ancestor. Like,
yeah.
You think that the Ark had two wolf-like animals, right?
But not dogs and cats. You know, there's an example of two mammals that
yeah,
would
I
be...
Understand.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, why do you not accept the idea that maybe ostriches and hummingbirds were on the Ark? I think
they were, but
no, I mean, like, they had a common ancestor first.
Well, I don't know where the taxonomical division would be, but probably the emu, the ostrich, maybe the elephant bird that's now apparently extinct,
yeah.
And several others in that, you know, flightless birds that
yeah.
only use their wings basically for balance and for mating. Those probably had a common ancestor, or possibly, I'll say, possibly
okay.
a common ancestor.
So you don't think that a hummingbird and an ostrich are the same kind, then?
No,
right.
I think their class obviously is the same. They're not the same species, or even genus, or I don't know about that. I don't know my class.
Do you think they're the same kind?
I doubt that they're the same kind.
So if you had an ostrich and a hummingbird and a banana, which one do you think the kid would point out isn't the same kind?
I think they would say none of them are the same.
Really?
Now, obviously, the ostrich and hummingbird have more
wow.
similarities.
I actually think that it takes a lot of courage to say something that
well,
I think is quite clear a child would often pick the banana.
It depends on what you're meaning by kinder there. It's
well,
just
I know,
like a little tickle IQ test.
Seen,
you know, which
I've
one doesn't fit. Hold on. It's just like a little IQ test to say which one doesn't fit in. The
but
kid's not making a scientific
let me reverse the question. I think you put a cat, a dog, and a banana up there.
Yeah.
And ask the kid which one's not the same kind.
Yeah.
He would say the banana for the same reason because
oh, yeah.
there are some similarities in a cat and a dog. They both have hair. They walk on four legs.
Yeah.
So the ostrich and hummingbird have similarities, obviously. They have wings. They fly. They have feathers. But that doesn't prove a common ancestor any more than cat and dog having similarities proves a common ancestor.
Okay. So why do you think that dogs are the same kind? Because they're all interfertile, right?
They certainly are. Even chihuahuas are very dangerous. They're fertile.
What about certain rabbits?
I think
Isn't it true that there's certain rabbits that aren't fertile with each other?
Correct. Now, there are geographical boundaries that sometimes isolate them to where they are no longer interfertile population, like
okay.
the Alaska rabbits and the Florida rabbits.
But we observe these rabbits, you know, losing the ability to impregnate one another, I guess.
So you think that rabbits and the other rabbits are the same kind, or no?
I would say probably the jackrabbits, the cottontail rabbits, the snowshoe rabbits certainly may have had a common ancestor and all been one kind, initially.
I don't know. It just seems a little... It kind of seems like if I ask you what's the criteria for kind, it just seems like you kind of just... You just say, well, it doesn't seem like there's nothing real strong to go off. And I'm not
well,
any
you know, Dr. Irvin, you said many times, any two creatures that are originally able to bring forth
yeah.
are the same kind.
Oh, yeah, I know.
There's
yeah,
a whole field of science today called baryminology. They have baryminology study groups and databases.
That's what they study. So is a hawk and an eagle the same kind? Oh, no, there. I don't know. That'd be a good study.
Okay.
Is a hawk and a hummingbird the same? I would say no.
But there are scientists actually conducting research in the field of baryminology doing this stuff.
See, that's where the type of stuff that evolution, each evolution of science do, look at the anatomical similarity, look at the chromosome number, look at the
yeah.
genetics. Those things are valuable tools.
Yeah.
That's legitimate science, but they're coming to the wrong conclusion.
Can we go back a little bit to the dog producing on dogs?
Sure. We'll be back right after the break. Name is Dino.com.
You
Here's today's 30-second job tip from InterCristo.
Resumes and cover letters should always go together. Your resume shows the what's, when's, and why's of your career. Your cover letter is your introduction of you and what you offer to the company. Tailor it and the resume to the job. Use language describing how you can help the organization. The resume and cover letter should be used to get the interview. The interview hopefully gets you the job.
Head to InterCristo.com to aid your job search. InterCristo, the Christian career specialists.
Not arrogant enough to call Truth Radio the home of the truth, because the home of the truth is up there with the Lord in heaven. But www.truthradio.com is a reliable place to find information you won't find elsewhere. Stay tuned. If you go to Google and put in the name Gavin DeBecker, G-A-V-I-N-D-E-B-E-C-K-E-R, you'll see that though you probably haven't heard of this man, he's very well known in a lot of circles for his being one of the chief authorities on violence and the reason to fear it. He's written a book, Fear Less. Interesting title. Magnificent book. I found a quantity of these, a small quantity, and I'd be glad to share one of these with you for a very little donation to Truth Radio. This book is a secular treatment of the concept of fear, what we should be afraid of, and how we should deal with it. P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444 is the address to use. Donate anything you choose when you ask for Fear Less, a book by Gavin DeBecker.
Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live here, August the 3rd, 2005.
Yep, we made it. To be joined by a special guest.
We made it, yes. Dan Gentry is supposed to be calling in, Robert Gentry's son. Hope he remembers the time, right? All that. It's on my calendar. He's going to be calling. Robert Gentry wrote the book, Creation Science Mystery, amazing book about radio colonial takeover.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. All the major publications, well, we'll let Dan tell the story, but everybody published Dan's work.
His work, not talking about creation.
No, we're talking about colonial halos and how this, wow, look at these little rings in this granite, you know. Until somebody says, oh, this proves the Big Bang Theory is wrong. He set him off like a ticket. Lose all government funding, et cetera. What a thing.
His website, halos.com, has, I think, 10 different demonstrations of them refusing to publish his work. They even took away, there was an online peer review website that took away his password so he could no longer post on their website. And I guess he pursued legal action. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the guy is one of the most respected scientists in that area.
He's a very nice man on a personal level. I've been to his house and know him. He's spoken at a couple of conferences with me. Just a real sweet girl. I'm very impressed by him. Anyway, go to halos.com. Check out his website. But meanwhile, while we're waiting for him to call, let's finish two more articles here. The Dr. Dino Live is the website, or screen name, Dr. Dino Live, you can AOL instant message or call, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466. Okay, here we have a instant message from God's Creation, 1865, who writes in. I have an important question. On your seminar, you told the crowd to go grab some toy dinosaurs and get all the neighborhood kids and try to defeat the truth about dinosaurs. What is a good place to read and learn about dinosaurs without trying to filter out all the billions of years known?
Dinosaur Adventure Land.
Dinosaur Adventure Land. We're the best
place.
The best place. Come on down, Pensacola. Seriously, you may want to come spend a day to fly to Pensacola. We're about 4 miles from the airport. And see Dinosaur Adventure Land. Get a video camera. Get a bunch of ideas. And use whatever you like. Don't use what you don't like. But we use dinosaurs to teach kids the truth about creation.
And several people have come to this ministry and been motivated by your either lectures or just their visit here. And Dinosaur Adventure Land or Dinosaur Adventure Land-like parks are springing up all over the United States.
Right. We hope to start thousands of them and encourage others to start stuff. I don't necessarily handle what I got here. I don't need to manage stuff now.
Of course, this one here is growing rapidly. It's only been open, it's still a baby. It's a few years old.
Your fourth anniversary is not so open.
Yeah, the grounds are just amazing. We've got a huge building floor out there with a fossil that sit inside. Large, no idea what kind of dinosaur that is.
Tylosaur.
Yeah, Tylosaur in there that kids can uncover and actually find fossils and take home with them. Huge museum. Everything's growing like crazy.
Yep. It's a neat place. I love it here. Okay. And I think the concept is right, you know, open, they call it a soft opening, you know, open, get something done, do something, and then add to it.
Yeah.
Rather than wait, hope it's big, which is, you know, okay, I suppose, but wait.
Yeah, at least open something. I mean, a lot of people, you know, need something. Even, you know, there's like Eddie Wendell, you know, great guy, just drove his bus over here. John Gusty, one of our artists there, and staff painted his bus. The guy just has a bus that he's using as a witnessing tool. You know, it's got the rapture on one side. It's got the New Jerusalem on the other side. It's a very small, simple thing using for a witnessing tool. You can always do something. Even
right.
If you want to have some big, heavy, boom, here we are, you know, do something on the way up there.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here. Okay, here we go. Buzz UK 234 says, the original Bible Greek translation has been found, a codex of some sort, written of the New Testament in original Greek language. bbc.co.uk. I'm looking up the website. Oldest known Bible to go online. It says a manuscript containing the oldest known biblical New Testament in the world is set to enter the digital age and become accessible online. Team of experts dates from the 4th century. Okay, now here's, I don't know about this particular one. The Alexandrian manuscripts, most of them date from the 4th century. And they're
those come from like a cult in Egypt?
It's a cult that had taken the Bible, kind of like Jehovah's Witnesses. They're paying for all kinds of things. Have you ever looked at a Jehovah's Witness Bible? Seen the differences?
No. Just a couple nights ago, I was reading History of the Mormons, you know, writing. And, of course, Joseph Smith claimed to be inspired by an angel to write everything and had the help of an angel. Yet all these Mormon leaders are changing everything he says and updating it.
Thousands and thousands of changes.
Now,
Jehovah's Witness Bible changed all kinds of things, too, like Colossians 1:16. You know, by him are all things created. They changed it to all other things created, but they don't think Jesus was the creator. The other caller's not going to be able to get in. Okay, so just a few minutes. Yeah, we'll take a call. Then we get supposed to Dan's supposed to be calling in. All right, so who's on the air there?
Grant from Louisiana.
Grant, the government grant. Yes,
that's ahead. That's our government grant, yeah.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, Grant, great north of you. You're in Baton Rouge, right? Or in Hammond?
Yes.
Or north of Hammond.
I used to live in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Who cares?
North of Hammond, there's a town called, is it Kempwood or something like that? There's a guy there that had online and did sell it, a scooter exactly like mine. Suzuki Bergman 650 scooter. John, that's what you need.
No, that's too much. I don't need all that.
You need a wife and 4 kids on one of those things.
I need maybe the cool little trunk on there, but that's about it.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Grant.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about tongues. You know, we're talking about tongues the other day.
I got one. Use it all the time.
Anyway, let me just ask a few questions. Let me know where I stand. You believe in the Holy Ghost is a comforter Jesus spoke of at the end of, I think it was
Matthew,
2 or 3 of the Gospels.
Right, Matthew and Mark, sure. Yes, I do believe that.
Okay. Do you believe that from time to time the Holy Ghost can manifest producing miracles, the blind seeing, the deafness? Those miracles still happen today.
I believe that he certainly can do what he wants. Now, the purpose of those miracles, and there's more than those, there's also the raising of the dead. But if you look at this, the New Testament church did not have a New Testament. So they have to have some kind of proof that they were indeed what they claimed they were, i.e. the certificate of God. And so the purpose of the miracles was the transition time. That's why when they, you know, spoke with tongues, raised the dead, drank, you know, poisonous things, they didn't kill them. Peter and Paul get bit by the poisonous snake, you know, just die. That was the purpose of those gifts was for that transition time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could show that all of those are being done today.
Well, even, you know, here I am, Jonathan Sampson, actually came out of the Pentecostal Church Charismatic. I have slightly different beliefs on the subject of tongues and miracles. And I think, you know, maybe, yeah, miracles can probably still happen today. But if we see something miraculous manifest itself, that doesn't necessarily mean that's God. You know, we know the beast is given power to give life into his image. You know, the beast, you know, Satan can also do some very miraculous things that are going to cause men to think that he's God. And so just because we see something manifest, it doesn't necessarily mean it's God. It may very well be, but it's just, you know, just because we see some outward expression.
It'd be wise to be able to test the spirit.
Oh, I agree. I believe everything ought to back up with Scripture, and if it doesn't, it's not of God.
Yeah.
But anyway, my pastor, Brother David Diamond, you may have heard of him, you may have not, but he's built up quite a reputation for himself. Kind of along the lines of yours, as far as the man of God and people who serve Satan don't like it.
Okay.
But anyway, he has personally testified that he has raised a few people from the dead. He healed people. He said he watched one time as God instructed him to lay hands on this woman, or I think it was a man, actually. Lay hands on, the guy was missing a leg. Half his leg grew back, right there.
Okay, thousands of those types of claims have been made. Zero, none, nada, have been documented or verified. Anybody can make a claim. And I want to see this person who said, my leg grew back.
Yeah, especially for something, you know, as big as this. You know, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit here. You know, it'd be very convincing if we saw medical records saying that this guy got his leg ripped off in Vietnam or something, and here the guy is today with a functional leg, and we could verify all that. But, you know, we have to be very skeptical on things like this. You know, someday they're going to say that, you know, Christ is up in the upper room. They're going to say really amazing things that would sound really good to believe, but Christ warned us, you know, that we need to try these spirits, test them to make sure that they're of God.
Yes, well, I agree with you on that.
I would say very quickly, God can do that kind of thing. No question. I mean, Jesus picked up a guy's ear, stuck it back on, and, you know, that healed immediately. No question. But it's never a partial healing with him. I mean, when he touched the eyes, the blind could see. So if somebody said half of a leg grew back, I would say, well, then that's not of God. That's of the devil. If you can show me a picture documented by a surgeon that their whole leg was gone, and then show me a picture, let me actually see and touch the leg, and wow, they got a leg again. Now that I would look at, and then I'd look for the scar, did they do some kind of reattachment? But if not, if it actually happened, sure, that would be, first place, I don't believe it at all. But I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen to evidence. But I'm not going to be taken in just because somebody tells me a story, especially if it is somebody who tends to, who may get financial gain from getting a following, which is what a lot of the TV evangelists are looking for. Some following, just so they can get financial gain.
Well, we do not have a big church, and that is one thing my pastor has always been very strong against, that he is not going to compromise on the word just to get a following.
Sure.
But I already tried once, and try again, see if I can get you down here in November, I think it was, your secretary said, and you can talk to him then. Still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I think I'm 1 second.
He's passing notes on to the secretary here. That'd be excellent, actually, if you just talk to him down there. But regarding that stuff, you know, I was in the same, you know, I was in the type of church, and I still believe that miracles can happen today. I'm very skeptical whenever I hear about them, and I think it's just the best thing to always remain skeptical about that type of stuff. And, you know, especially if we see something miraculous, we still need to remain skeptical and always test it against the scriptures and search the scriptures daily.
and that makes sure
there's too many charlatans out there that'll say, hey, for $20, knock them up a claim I got healed. You know, and then they go off and risk their life if they ask, oh, yeah, I had a bad back. See, I got healed.
Well, that's the type of stuff we need to look for, too. Whenever Christ healed, for instance, you know, he reattached the man's ear. You know, that was a physical, outward healing. You know, lepers were healed.
Not somebody claiming I have a pain and now it's gone. I mean, there's no way to verify that.
Yeah, we should definitely see if these types of miracles are happening, and we should definitely see a very drastic outward thing. Like you were just saying, a leg grow back. That'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah, there are definitely charlatans. There's definitely scam artists. But
yeah.
As you once put it, there are counterfeit $20 bills.
Right.
That does not mean there are no real $20 bills.
And that's kind of a poor example, because in America they are all counterfeit. The Federal Reserve, the whole thing is fake.
But the idea is
yeah, the idea around it
makes pretty good sense, yeah.
Okay. Our other caller is supposed to be calling in. Grant, if you can wait till this next call's over. Dan Gentry, so let's call.
Can I ask one quick question,
sure.
though, before I get off?
Okay.
You believe that during the early days of the New Testament church, before the New Testament was written down, the Lord manifested himself in tongues, speaking of that, and then after the New Testament was transcribed, he stopped?
I don't have any reason for it. Every example I can see in the New Testament, the purpose of this gift of speaking with another tongue was to get out the gospel. In the book of Acts, for instance, they speak in one language, they hear in 17. The purpose was, you got all 17 languages gathered together in Jerusalem, let's go get them all saved at one time. You know? That was quite obviously the purpose of it. Acts chapter 10, you got Cornelius, the Italian centurion, taken to Israel, and all of a sudden starts speaking in Italian to his buddies, and they say, wow, he's been saved, and something's changed, look how excited he is. He speaks his native tongue. That is not, the Greek word is glossa, which is where we get our word glossary. There are no examples where they're speaking some unknown gibberish that is supposed to be somehow a miraculous gift of God. I mean, I'm willing to listen, but so far I can't see it in Scripture anyplace.
Well,
I hear people tell stories about, wow, this happened to me. Well, yeah, you can tell stories about how light can hit you and your eyeballs turn green, too, but I don't want to hear a story. I want to see some evidence, and I want to see some Scripture. I see neither of those. All I see is a lot of hype, a smoke and mirrors.
Well, you said the guy started speaking his native tongue, but why would the Bible make special mention of that, seeing as Paul would have already been speaking that tongue anyway? When you go to witness to someone in Spain, you don't speak English, you speak Spanish.
Well, good point. Apparently, hold on one sec. Dan Gentry is supposed to call me for the program tonight. Yeah. And so, well, give Jonathan's cell phone, too. The case can't get to it for honor. I hear everything fine here on my end. Jonathan, push a few buttons over there. Can you hear me okay, David? Hello. Okay, we had a caller on there. Is our caller still there? No. Okay. You can hear us okay, Richard. Good to hear from you out there. Anyway. All right, I guess we lost our caller, but, yeah, as far as the tongues issue, I mean...
Dr. Hovind, let me get online with you here and explain that what we were experiencing there was a low level on your feed in to us,
okay.
To the control room. So if you can pump up the level a little bit, everything will be wonderful.
All right. How's that? Jonathan's got a whole bunch of buttons over there. Just,
yeah, I have to look at it here for a second.
Start pushing a bunch of them. Just flip them all down. All right. Richard, you know how it is. You got all kinds of buttons at your place there. It gets a little complicated. We're working on it.
We have enough buttons here, so we do know how it is. That's for sure.
Man, whenever my kids get me some kind of new, you know, like when I got my first cell phone, I said, that's just what I need. It's something else to learn. You know, much more buttons to learn. My brain is full. Okay. All right.
Dr. Hovind, there is one other issue here. I just noticed we have a really significant AC hum on your line as well. I don't know where that's coming from, but it's something you might want to look into.
All right. You need to come here, Richard. You've got to see our ministry anyway. Why don't you fly out here and see what we've got and say, oh, you need this piece of equipment and, you know, get us set up here. We're a little bit novice at this. The subject of evolution I know real well. The mechanical, technical side is... I just have people come.
No, quite to the contrary. You people normally do an excellent job, and I have not ever noticed this hum before. I trust that I'm not experiencing that internally on my monitor. I'll double check on the internet and make sure of that and advise you. But keep on going and just make sure your level is up as high as possible.
All right, sounds good. All right, folks, if you want to join us on the program, we are the folks here in Pensacola, Florida, who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools in violation of the First Amendment is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. I can't think of any dumber idea. Now, there have been some really dumb ideas down through the years. You know, the Egyptians used to teach that life evolved from the slime on the Nile River. And people used to teach, hey, if you want to get mice, get some rotten rags and cheese and wrap it together and put it in a corner of a barn and wait 3 weeks, and it will generate mice, spontaneous generation.
That really wasn't too long ago, either. That was
last few hundred years.
A few hundred years ago.
And it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, they got mice.
Until Pasteur came along and kind of
said, hey, guys, they're raising their babies in there. You know,
yeah.
They smelled the cheese. They said, wow, good place to raise babies.
So the flies and the larvae and the meat.
Right. So the scientific evidence says it takes mice to make mice and flies to make mice, flies to make flies, et cetera. Now, the evolutionists, though, are still stuck 200 years ago believing in spontaneous generation. They can't believe they can be that far behind and still call themselves intelligent and still believe that life came from non-living material. Oh, well. Hey, we're here to help, guys. You can call in, and we'll help you today. We can solve the problem. 850-479-3466. 850-479-3466, extension 136. Take you right onto the program. Or instant message us, Dr. Dino Live, D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V-E. Okay, the person who asked about the Greek manuscript. And we'll be back, folks.
Somewhere down deep in the resources of Truth Radio, a video has been hiding, and I just discovered it recently. It's entitled The Civil War Debate. This is a public meeting with hundreds of people attending. It was held, I believe, in Georgia. There is one man stating the case for the North and another man stating the case for the South and a moderator. It's anything but boring. If you've studied our history going back to the Civil War at all, there's information in this video that you will consider to be really vital, and it's a really terrific experience to listen to it. I hope you'll order a copy as you write to P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. Your gift of any size will bring you a copy of The Civil War Debate. Write to us soon. Thanks.
People get married for intimacy, but before long, many couples find something different.
With Moments Together, here's Dennis Rainey.
Take Paul and Michelle, for instance. After 17 years together, they have what most would consider a model marriage. But over time, they become alienated from one another because of an unsatisfying sex life. They can't discuss the subject anymore, and they resisted seeking counsel. They've simply declared this area off limits for discussion. Most days after taking care of the kids, Michelle is exhausted and uninspired. She feels guilty about not being the wife she knows she should be. Meanwhile, her husband Paul is frustrated and sometimes finds himself looking too long at some women at work. Most of the time, couples like Paul and Michelle will simply settle for something less than what God expects in that marriage. And for Christians, that simply shouldn't be an option.
Moments Together with Dennis Rainey is made possible by Regal Books, the Moments Together devotional series at Christian bookstores or regalbooks.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live here in Pensacola, Florida. DrDino.com is our website. You can call 850-479-DINO. Go to extension 136 and be live on the air. And I believe we have our guest. It's Dan Gentry, Dr. Gentry, right?
Correct.
I thought it was, my secretary gave me a note, it was the name Gentry, and I guess I didn't read it carefully. I thought it was David Gentry, who's Robert Gentry's son. But you are no connection to Robert Gentry.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, good. Now, you are in, are you still in North Carolina?
Yes, Thomasville, North Carolina.
Thomasville, North. They talk funny up there, don't they?
Depends on where you're from.
I see. All right. Well, Brother Gentry, we appreciate so much being on the program with us. A little bit of history here. We've been doing this for 2 years. We have people listening from New Zealand to England, and people all over, many atheists and evolutionists, and some get very upset with us to call in. So what we do is we try to give other creation speakers an opportunity to come on for 10 or 15 minutes to tell about their ministry, so people in their area or anywhere actually want to get information about them or have them come speak. It'll be or any topic that's on your heart. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into creation and what your goals are.
Well, I'm a physician, and I wear several hats. I am also the medical director for Wesleyan World Missions. I'm medical director for a free clinic. Those are my jobs, but my hobby and my passion is teaching. And I do teach a Sunday school class of roughly 80 to 100 people each Sunday. And I also teach other at opportunity, sometimes children, sometimes teenagers. But got involved with Dr. Hovind's stuff when I saw some videotapes of his. And have done a little bit of research on my own, certainly not as much as he has. But just really love to teach and really love the Lord and the Bible and just get excited about the things of His God's Word.
So as a trained medical physician, are you saying you don't believe in evolution?
Not at all. Evolution is really a fairly silly concept that...
Oh, but what about, you know, nothing in biology today makes any sense except in light of evolution. I mean, Theodosius Dobzhansky said this, and, you know, we should be heralding him around like some type of a savior or something.
Well, that's just not true. I mean, evolution is mostly still propagated in the educational system.
Mm-hmm.
Real scientists, most of them really don't believe in evolution anymore.
And you as a physician, I mean, how often do you have to apply it to your field?
Well, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's obvious, and there's a minimum of literally thousands of things, if not billions, that have to work all at the same time for even the eye or the ear or any one of the body organs to work. And without any one of those things in existence, you couldn't see or you couldn't hear. And so it's really impossible for these things to have evolved, because they would have had to, a million different nerves would have had to evolve differently at the same time, come together for one function, which only an extremely intelligent designer could do. So evolution really is a silly concept for any thinking person, in my opinion. And again, most true scientists' opinion would agree with that.
Well, we have people that call into the program and say all scientists believe in evolution, and we're crazy for not believing it.
I guess just where you're coming from, but the ones I have talked to, again, the really ones that are able to think critically, I just haven't found that to be the case.
Well, me neither. I've met a few people who were scientists and believed in evolution, but then when you really push came to shove, they couldn't show me how their science tied in with their evolution. So there was really no connection. Their evolution really was their religion that they passed on through their science.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I would
good.
Agree with that concept, because certainly in the field of medicine, most of the physicians I know either believe in creation or at least intelligent design. A lot of them will say, well, he's not the God of your Bible, but there certainly is an intelligent designer, because it doesn't make any real sense to believe anything different than that. So the thing I run into the most is people who, again, who are willing to look at the truth and not just believe what they're taught in school, is that there's at least intelligent design, even though those who won't even believe in God.
Right. Now, as far as who is the designer, that's a whole other set of arguments.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Wonderful. Well, now, do you want to get out speaking more, or do you Sunday school class got you tied up every week, or what?
Well, they keep me pretty well tied up, and I do, like I said, with my other hats, too. I end up doing a lot of traveling and doing a lot of speaking. I do train missionaries for going out around the world, and I train them medically how to survive and also do some teaching there. So I've probably got all I can handle right now.
All right. Well, if folks have questions, do you mind if people call you? I mean, you may be careful now, but you may want to give out your number or any contact or website or something if you're interested.
I'd probably better not do that right now.
Okay. Well, good. We appreciate you being on the program. And if people doubt, let's see, what medical school do you go to?
Indiana University.
Indiana University.
Right.
All right. And they teach evolution there, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I was told on the very first day when I was there that medicine had to be your God. And if medicine was not number one in your life, it was not your God to get up and walk out right then. I was tempted to do so just as a witness, but then as I prayed about it, I felt like, no, you know, God got me here, and it's God's going to have to take me out. There was a lot of things that my professors taught that just simply was not true. But Psalms 119 really helped me out. It's, you know, where David says, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my teachers. And that was one of my theme verses all through med school.
So they actually said that medicine is your God?
They told us to get up and leave if medicine was not our God.
Wow, and this is a public school?
Yeah.
A medical school.
Tax-supported public school.
Thank God it wasn't allowed in school. Is medicine no longer allowed in school now? If medicine's your God, take it out?
Well, maybe they look at it that way.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, are you familiar with Professor Denny at University of Texas Lubbock, who told his students, and he taught college senior biology, he said, if you don't believe in evolution, don't ask me for a recommendation to go on to medical school, because there's no reason for you to become a doctor if you don't believe in evolution. Have you ever heard of Professor Denny?
I have not, and I really don't care to, if that's his opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, he finally got sued for not giving recommendation letters to creation of students. He would stop them right there. Sorry, you believe in creation. You're not going on to medical school with my recommendation.
I think for, you know, Deanie's exact case there, I guess he does have the right to not write his own personal recommendation. However, that just goes to show how completely narrow-minded, you know, some of these professors are we're putting our faith in them to educate, you know, our students.
Right, and I had a friend who actually grew up in an atheistic school, but in the college, he was taking a course in great historical characters, and they studied Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and all this, but they didn't do Jesus Christ. So he raised his hand and asked him, how about Jesus Christ? And the professor threw an object at him and hit him and said, don't you ever mention that word in my classroom again. And the student became curious as to what was so special, what was so different about Jesus Christ that you couldn't talk about him. And it eventually led to his salvation because he realized there's something very different about Christ.
Awesome.
But the persecution in higher education, I think, is really pretty dramatic. Paul tells us that we're going to be persecuted for Christians. And so, but I think it's probably nowhere more severe in the United States than in higher education.
And people think, you know, this is America, everything's fine. I tell people, man, if you're not an evolutionist in a university these days, it's about like not being a communist in a Soviet university 50
exactly.
years ago.
Exactly. I can't think of anywhere where, like I said, you're openly ridiculed and made fun of and threatened and persecuted more than in our colleges, universities, and sometimes, believe it or not, even seminaries.
Oh, that's the truth. Well, now, Thomasville, North Carolina, I don't remember where that's at. I know where Thomasville, Georgia is.
We're right near Greensboro, Winston-Salem, in the Piedmont area.
Oh, okay. Good. How long have you been in medical work?
I graduated from med school in 76, and spent some time overseas in Africa for 3 years, from 85 to 89, and have been practicing in Thomasville ever since then.
Why do they call it practicing?
Because I guess we never get good enough to call it really doing it. I don't know.
Wonderful. Well, brother, if you get an opportunity, you need to come down and visit our Dinosaur Adventure Land.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, we got a couple of people writing in questions for you. Do you want to have time for a question?
Sure.
Okay, well, this first one here, I had to write the guy back. His name is Bobbitt Worm, who's kind of a regular here on the program. He's an atheist. Or something like that. And he starts out by saying, this guy is a crackpot. Ask him if he's ever studied the autonomic nervous system of an elasmobranch or a petromyzophoid, or his knowledge of the world strictly limited to human physiology.
I have studied the autonomic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system also. And in fact, that is one of the most beautiful examples mm-hmm. of something that just doesn't work unless many aspects come together at the same time. And it would be, again, with the autonomic nervous system, to me, it would be like the pieces of a watch and saying each part evolved individually, mm-hmm. and which just doesn't make sense because each part depends on the workings and the gearing of the other part.
Yeah.
And the autonomic nervous system is actually an extremely complicated system that takes an extremely intelligent design to make it. Yes, I have studied it, been tested on it, and fortunately passed my test.
Well, this guy right here, Bobbitt Worm, I wrote back and said, well, what's the relevance of your question here? And he says, just to point out that doctors are medical physiologists and generally do not have a good understanding of animal diversity. So he's saying, because you're not a shark expert or something like that, then you shouldn't even be allowed to talk about evolution. Yet here we are. Your whole life is dedicated to studying humans and their physiology and anatomy. And that's supposed to be like the pinnacle of evolution right there. So he's saying, you know, an expert in human physiology is not qualified to talk about evolution. That sounds ridiculous to me.
Well, I would certainly agree that the human is the, if you believe in evolution, that certainly would have to be the pinnacle, because there's no other life form that has the capabilities that we do for higher reasoning. And I am certainly not a shark expert or a dinosaur expert or anything else, but I have devoted my life to studying the body, the physiology of the body, and medicine, what makes it better. And I have seen enough to convince myself that it is, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I've seen people who have no faith in the Creator that made this body. Mm-hmm. And they don't do well. These people just don't seem to do as well physically and emotionally. Now, maybe some do, but on the whole, I think a faith in the Creator is a very life-sustaining and life-giving thing. In fact, in my practice, the ones who believe in the Creator, the ones who are Christians, literally seem to have less diseases. In fact, the Scripture promises that. If you follow certain dictates of the Bible, you will have none of these diseases, I believe is the phrase in the King James.
Yes, sir.
But that's been my experience also.
Well, wonderful. You know, it's interesting. People who believe in evolution, like Bob Orme is writing in, what they do is they look at all the scientists in the world, and let's say there are 20 different branches of science, as kind of an overgeneralization. They'll say, well, we've got to slice out all the medical doctors. They don't count because they've only studied human physiology. And so if a person is a medical doctor doesn't believe in evolution, they automatically discard it by saying, well, we can throw them all out. Or if a chemist says, I don't believe in it, they'll say, well, chemistry doesn't count. We'll throw them out. Or if an anatomist doesn't believe, well, he's just an anatomist.
So what they're expecting is for God himself to come down on the, you know, just to know everything
right.
And say evolution is not true. They won't. Here they are. They stand on the individual words of unique scientists in their own respective fields. They'll stand on the words of a chemist. Or if they find a physiologist or, you know, anybody like that who says evolution is true, then they will stand up and herald their words and put them up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
But whenever a creationist who has, you know, his doctorate, who graduated, and is now a practicing physician, you know, that when he stands up and says it, oh, well, he's got, you know, his studies too, you know, narrow scope to one field.
What he's trying to do, they want to slice out all the different branches of scientists that don't agree with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or then, just the individual scientists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if a biologist trained at Harvard says, I don't believe in evolution, then they'll say, well, we need to call Harvard to find out who your teachers were and get them fired.
Yeah, or that biologist right there is just a crackpot, like this guy says, oh, the guy's a crackpot. You know, that's the easy way to get out of there, ad hominem attacks.
Right, back to man.
Well, in reality, the logic doesn't hold up to exclude anything that doesn't agree with you, because if you find just one thing that's true that doesn't agree with you, then you have to re-examine your own theory. And to exclude everybody that doesn't agree with you, you know, you're obviously shooting an arrow and then painting the target around it. You're trying to prove a point, and I guess you'll do anything to prove a point.
That's a good one.
No matter how logic it is.
That's classic. I got to use that one. Shoot the arrow and then paint the target around it. Ooh. Boy, you get a bull's eye every time if you do that one.
Exactly.
We've got another question here. This one's from God's Creation, 1865, and they say, question for the caller. After hearing the complexity of the human body, it blows my mind that this is God's idea of a temporary. What part of the body convinces you the most of a designer?
Oh, that's a good question. I want to share just one personal thing with you. I got down to the Scriptures the other day and read a verse where it says the Holy Spirit, his job, and according to John 14, is to lead us into all truth. And I got down and I prayed, God, if that's true, show me the answer to simply your question right there and what's coming. And I found out something very interesting. God is very interested. It is because his word is true. The Spirit was very interested in showing me what's coming. And I have been literally thrilled in the last few months about what is coming in our bodies and in all the world around us. There's not one thing in creation that you see that will not be in the new earth, in the new heaven. Everything has to be there in its redeemed form. Right now we see everything in cursed form, including this body. But every rock, every tree, every plant, every bird, and every body will be there in the new earth. And I think they'll all be different. I think we'll know each other just as we do now, but the amazing thing is that I think we'll be very similar to what we are now, except uncursed. And the thing I'm excited about with our body, as mine gets older, I'm realizing, hey, some things are going wrong with it. But to have a body that never hurts, that never gets exhausted, that never gets tired, that has the capacity for colors, sounds, sights, smells far beyond what we can do now, It's just amazing. I get literally excited about thinking about the body we're going to get.
Or you could be like Walt Disney and keep the one you got and do nothing with it. I heard that guy cryogenically froze his body or something like that. There's rumors about people who freeze their bodies
right,
for the future.
Right, right.
Keep all those things and just do nothing with it. You know?
Oh, man, they're missing the point. They're missing what God has for them.
Yeah, they're missing out.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Do you have another question for Jeff? No, we've got some questions on other topics right now, but you know, apparently people are loving this entry guy here.
All right.
So.
Well, if you know any other people who believe in creation that are scientists, have them give us a call. I think we've got some people with a very mistaken idea that you can't be smart and believe the Bible, and you can't be a college grad and believe the Bible. I think they're really prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Dr. Gentry, what church do you work for? What's up there?
I work with a Wesleyan church.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you keep reading your Bible, you can be a Baptist, you know. That's when you get to the top.
I hear you.
I spoke at a Wesleyan church a couple times. And,
have you?
Good bunch of folks.
Yeah, right.
We appreciate you calling to be on the program. Any final comments?
No, just keep up the good work. I appreciate what you're doing. And like I said, you've helped me a lot in my teaching of my classes and things. And I'll pray for your continued success. And I want a date with you for 100 years from now because I want to talk with you about some other things. Is that a deal?
Oh, that's a deal. I'll have plenty of time then.
Okay.
Only if I can tag along. I mean, that'd be fun.
We'll sit down then.
Thanks so much, brother.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That's Dr. Dan Gentry from Thomasville, North Carolina.
That guy's pretty cool.
I'm sure from that information you could get an office address and give him, write him a letter if you'd like.
Or if you're sick, go and see what's wrong.
There you
go.
Can tell you. Thomasville, North Carolina. Beautiful place, especially the Piedmont area. But they do talk funny. Okay, are you sending the messages on to me, Jonathan, or you just got them over there?
I still got a couple of them over here.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
I'll pass them through to you.
Oh, okay. Let's see. If you want to get on the program here, folks, we only got 20 minutes left. You can, in our Creation Science Hour. We'll come back up.
If you're like me, you believe the FBI has never apologized, never had any thoughts of regret about Ruby Ridge. Well, here's FBI negotiator Fred Lansley. Hear what he says.
We fouled up in front of the entire world, and it should never have happened. And I think it was just a really disappointing day for the FBI.
The FBI later admits to covering up facts during the court case, and the rules of engagement are deemed unconstitutional.
Well, the FBI may not have officially apologized for what went on at Ruby Ridge, but it was impressive to hear Fred Lansley speak out against his bosses. That's almost never done. This DVD, new to me, is really great. Lots of good background information about the Weaver case and Randy himself showing up and telling his story. You can have a copy if you write to me, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
Who's your best friend? If you're like most Christians, you would say it's Jesus Christ. Well, at Lifeline Long Distance, he's our best friend, too. And because we both have the same person as our best friend, we thought it might be good for us to get to know one another. And so to all of our new friends, we're offering you something special. Some of the lowest long-distance rates ever. 6.9 cents per minute all day on weekdays, and as low as 4.9 cents all day on Sunday. And here's another friendly gesture. Sign up with Lifeline, and we'll donate 10% of every long-distance call toward the advancement of the gospel. And if that's not enough, we'll also give you 50 minutes of free long distance just for switching. Now that may sound pretty generous, but after all, we have the same best friend. Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Phone 1-800-311-2418 and 10% of your long distance calling will support Truth Radio. That's 1-800-311-2418.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. We have 20 minutes left, actually slightly less than 20 minutes. If you want to be on the program, you can be on by calling 850-479-DINO. Go to extension 136 or instant messages at AOL.
On AOL.
On AOL.
Yeah.
For Dino Live. My brain's on two other thoughts at the same time. And the third one wouldn't quite go in there. This multitasking, I guess, has its limits. Exciting announcement I wanted to make. We are the folks, I forgot last time, who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. The Earth was created about 6,000 years ago, just like the Bible says. Everything was created. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools in violation of the First Amendment and in violation of common sense is this theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I say it, number one, because I really believe it. Okay.
Well, at least you're up front about what you believe, yeah.
I'm not going to sneak up on anybody, you know. I don't like this, let's just, you know, dance around the issue, you know, beat around the bush. No, cut the bush down, okay? Cut it down. Pull it up by the roots. Get rid of it. If it's in the way, knock it off.
I was reading an article just the other day on one of another creation website, and a skeptic or a scoffer, I'm not going to say that, an insanely mean scoffer, went to a recent, I guess I'll have to get to that later on.
Okay. All right, we've got a bunch of instant messages here and one caller coming in. So,
Johnson.
20 minutes left, 18 minutes left. You get on the program, 850-479, Dino extension 136, or instant message us, and we'll get to God's First Thought, and Ghost 32, and everybody else is a bunch of parent lines in just a minute. All right. Ready, Johnson. Go ahead. Who we got?
I was actually listening to two different things at the same time, so I forgot his name.
Go ahead. What's your name?
Dr. Tobin, this is my name is Aaron. I spoke with you earlier today. I'm from down here at Fort Hood, Texas.
Yes, sir.
I had another question I was actually kind of interested in. In part six of your seminar, you discussed what I think you called the teledose, or clay tablets that would have been written down on with the eyewitnesses to the Genesis account, and then Moses would have been the editor to those, putting that together. And you said you mentioned that Henry Morris has some of that in his Defender's Bible that you guys sell. But I was wondering if there are any other resources where I can get a hold of information on that.
Oh, Henry Morris has it all put together really well in the Defender's Bible. Basically, for the listener's sake, Genesis was not actually written by Moses. It was put together by Moses. Genesis has 10 different authors. All of them are eyewitnesses. Adam actually wrote part of Genesis. Noah wrote part of it.
I'm reading, Defending the Faith right now. It's written by Henry Morris, and all of the material, I just actually got through his section where he's talking about that, and all the material for that book is taken from his website, icr.org, and so I'm assuming that if it's in the book, then it's on the website as well.
All right.
All right. If
all right.
Look at Genesis chapter 1, and it uses the word God 31 times.
Right.
When you go to chapter 2, it says Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the King James, they're very careful to preserve the meaning based on, for instance, sometimes the word Lord is all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Sometimes it's a large capital and then a small capital. Very interesting. If you look at the King James, it's very carefully, the way the typeset is, to distinguish between the different names for God, whether it's Lord, all capitals, or Lord. It's kind of like a small capital, for lack of a better way to say it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Just look at it carefully and you say, wow, that is kind of strange. Why is that? You know, they were very careful to preserve that. So, yeah,
well, certainly.
There are 10 different authors of Genesis. And each section is called the teledose. You can tell where they are. It starts off by saying, these are the generations of.
Yes.
That's the phrase. So that, just for the listener's sake, that appears in Genesis 2:4, Genesis 5:1, Genesis 6:9, and, you know, seven other places. I don't have them all memorized. Okay.
Oh, well, that's really great. Hey, thank you very much, and I bless for all the work you're doing.
All right. Thanks a lot, brother. Call in anytime.
Good day now.
All right, folks, you can call in now. We've got an open line. Sorry about that. Only one line to the program. I guess that's all we need anyway, John. 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay, God's first thought was, hello, haven't talked to you in a while and forgot what site it was to listen to you. It's Truth Radio. Apparently he found it. Otherwise he wouldn't.
Yeah, I didn't know I sent that one through. I sent him the link for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I'm working on trying to convert a gay atheist. Any suggestions besides prayer? Well, you convert a gay atheist like you convert a Muslim or a Buddhist or anybody else. You use God's law, and you get them to admit they've sinned and they've broken God's law, and you bring them to Christ. Everybody gets saved the very same way. Like Ray Comfort's got a good thing he does. You know, how do you witness to a Buddhist? You know, use the law. Or have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? You ever cheated? Have you ever done anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like what he does. He'll start off by saying, are you a good person? Yeah, okay. Have you ever lied? Yeah. What'd that make you?
A liar.
A liar.
Yeah.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Of course.
Yeah, well, what's that make you?
A thief.
Thief. Have you ever lusted after another woman? Oh, yeah, yeah. What's that make you? Adulterer at heart, like the Bible says. And now, are you a good person? They say, yeah. Well, you already told me you're a lying thief and adulterer at heart. What's that mean you're a good person? You're a bad person. You know? Like that commercial that they do on our program here, one of the ads, you know, from the Lifeline.
Yeah.
You know, they call up heaven, you know. Hey, how do I go to heaven, you know? First, admit you're a sinner. But I'm not a sinner. Okay, goodbye.
Click.
It's so true, you know. You got to start with step one. And this is where the evolution theory is probably one of the most dangerous parts about it is it causes people who believe in it to not realize they're a sinner.
Mm-hmm. Well, if evolution is true, then there is no sin.
So there's no thing of sin, right.
There's no Garden of Eden. There's no Adam and Eve. There's none of that. Christ died for absolutely no reason because man was never into God in the first place.
Right. And so that's where I'm sure, you know, they're deceived and willingly ignorant, as 2 Peter says, and God sent a strong delusion. I really feel like some of the people who call into this program, you know, that are evolutionists, are so strongly deluded that you'd almost have to come from God, you know. They don't want to believe so badly that God says, okay, bingo, shut off half your brain, you know, where you can't see the obvious, because they really don't see it. I mean, other listeners write in and call in and say, why don't these guys see it?
I think, you know, sometimes they probably do see it. You know, Dr. David Minton, who's an anatomist and cell biologist, was giving a lecture, and he was saying, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, but whenever you're giving the creation message, it's almost like you're sharing the law, and it scares the snot out of people. I mean, they really do see that there is a creator here, but they know that if they don't have a savior, they can't really afford to have a creator.
Right.
You know, if you don't have someone to take the blame for your sins, you're going to get it. I mean, and you don't want it. Whatever it is, the judgment, you know, so they actually, I think a lot of people, they probably do see that, you know, this creation stuff makes a lot of sense. It's just scary. You know, there's no way, you know, I've got personal family members of mine who think that in order for God to accept them, they have to clean their lives up. They have to do all this work, and then maybe God will accept them. And they know that's probably not going to happen if by their own strength and their own will.
How good would you have to be for God to accept it?
Yeah, you got to catch your fish before you can clean it. I mean, the fish is going to catch itself and then throw itself up into your boat. You got to get out there, reel that thing in, and then clean it. Of course, the type of cleaning you do with a fish is not the type of Christian does, thankfully.
I'm still thinking about shoot the arrow and paint the target around it.
I like that.
That's classic.
Probably learned that in medical school. I don't know.
Well, that's what these atheists and evolutionists do, you know. They look at evidence and then paint the target around it. They see that proves evolution. You know?
That's right where we shot it.
That's what we were aiming at. Wow. Hey, man. Okay, here we go. Ghost 32 writes in. Along with the topic of tongues, I would like to say a couple things. Did I finish with the gay atheist? I guess close enough. Yeah, gay people, I hate using the word gay. I mean, there's nothing gay about it. They're not happy.
Yeah, confusion of terms.
Yeah, the old term when I was a kid was queer, and that's what they still call themselves, Queer Nation.
Well, they got the queer eye for a straight guy, you know, TV show and stuff.
Sure. I still use the term, and it's not derogatory, it's just that's what they call themselves, that's what they are. I mean, it's pretty queer. Two boys like each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to reproduce any children. I mean, how long are they going to try to figure that out? That's obviously not the way God designed it. Okay. So, but anyway, how do you witness them? Just make them realize they're a sinner. Show off the Savior.
Yeah. Once that happens, you can have them, you know, read through Romans. I believe Romans talks about two men that lay down together, and that's how
Romans 1, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Women shouldn't do it. Men shouldn't do it. I mean, it's almost like a puzzle. Men and women fit together. They
doesn't
don't
take long to figure it out.
Yeah, it's you just don't, yeah.
I've seen some real dumb people figure it out. I mean, you don't have to be too bright either. Some real dumb people. So, I would go to livingwaters.com and download Ray Comfort's technique of using the law, use the law to show them they're a sinner and bring them to the Savior. Whether they're queer or normal or it doesn't matter. They need to be saved. Period. Okay, so did I. And I'm glad God did that for me. Okay, here we go. Go 32. Along with the topic of tongues, I would like to say a couple things. First of all, I myself attend a Pentecostal church where from the time people speak in tongues, or so they seem to, where from time to time people speak in tongues. I agree that we need to be very careful about how we view these types of activities and that we may not be able to take them seriously sometimes. I myself have struggled sometimes with this type of thing sometimes when I hear it, but not always. I don't always feel that it might be fake or made up. Secondly, I can refer to something which was told to me by my pastor in my church, whom I have a lot of trust in. There was an incident where a pastor began to speak in tongues to a congregation. It turned out he was actually speaking a foreign language, which he did not know how to speak, and it turned out that this was the primary language spoken by a couple who was visiting the church, and the message was something that they needed to hear to help their faith. So this, so to me, this seems more like something that could actually happen today.
Can we stop right there? And okay, so he's saying the pastor was speaking a foreign language, and the foreigners understood it. And that's, I guess, more similar to the Acts situation, but it's still not even, that's not what happened. Everyone understood in their own language.
But see, if I stood up and started speaking Swahili because there was a Swahili guy walking through the room or standing in the auditorium, that would be miraculous, number one.
Yeah.
I don't know any Swahili. Number two, that's what the tongues were for.
But that's not exactly whenever they talk about an act. Everyone heard it in their own language.
True, that's even more miraculous. He's speaking Greek or whatever, and they heard him in Hebrew. You know,
yeah.
Or heard him in French.
You know, if we have Pavel here, who's from Ukraine, and you started speaking in tongues, and he would hear you in Ukraine, or in Russian, I would hear you in English.
That would be miraculous.
Isn't that what happened in Acts?
That's what happened in Acts 2. There's no way one man could be speaking 17 languages simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So this is being translated in the air, or in the ear, or who knows where.
So, I mean, this situation with his pastor speaking a foreign language that nobody but two people understand, that's not exactly what happened in Acts.
And again, I mean, the pastor may be honest, I wouldn't question that, but okay, this is a story we have to now believe coming from a person, as opposed to where's the evidence for this.
Well, what's the word, what does the Bible say? That's a very fundamental thing. What does the Bible say? You know, they talk about when this type of thing happened in Acts, everyone heard it in their own language.
Right.
You know,
good point. So the pastor should have been preaching, and the couple would have heard it, and the English people would have still heard
it. Exactly. I mean, if you look and you got the Americans and these people from, you know, Korea or something, both smiling like they understand it, that's what you would be looking for. You wouldn't say, he's speaking Korean. You know, because that's not what happened. Everyone heard it. You would just think, oh, he's speaking English. He's speaking to me.
Now, again, it's just a story, but I heard the story. At Miles Anderson College, Hammond, Indiana, that's where Chuck Holcomb and his wife went.
Mm-hmm.
First Baptist Church up there in Hammond near Chicago. Huge, huge church. A guy walked down the aisle during the invitation, and he wanted to be saved. But he only spoke Vietnamese. The deacon or elder or usher, whoever, the poll winner, went down there to witness to the guy, shared the gospel with him in English. That's all he knew. He read the English, talked in English. The guy sitting there nodding his head, listening. And when they got all done, the guy prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Then by the end, they happened to find somebody who spoke Vietnamese to translate. The translator came up and said, you know, can I help you? He said, oh, no, everything's fine. He said, well, this guy only speaks English. He said, oh, no, he speaks perfect Vietnamese. I heard him in Vietnamese.
Now, see, that's perfectly within God's ability.
That's Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
So, again, all I can do is tell you the story. But I'm going to speak at First Baptist Hammond this October, September, I don't know when. And I'll try to locate the guy. Is this true? Did this happen?
Which could happen, yeah.
Sure.
But, you know, one man speaking a completely different language to just a couple of different people isn't what Acts is talking about in the first place.
Right. Now, I heard a guy tell the story that he came back from some island out in the Pacific, you know, where they spoke an oddball language. And he's sitting in this church, and a lady gets up and starts speaking what she thought was speaking tongues. And somebody else gets up and starts interpreting. You know, oh, you said praise God, you know, everything else. Everybody dropping $50 in the offering plate kind of stuff, you know. And this guy got up and said, man, I'm a missionary. I just got back from the mission field. I've been in the country where they speak that language you were speaking. Do you speak that language? She said, no, I was just leading as the Holy Spirit was leading me. I was just talking.
I'm excited about a new resource just made available to Truth Radio. A friend of Truth Radio has sent us a quantity of a booklet entitled Our American Common Law. If you've wondered what the difference is between common law, equity law, contract law, all these very important distinctions, and how the gold or money issue enters into this whole discussion, this booklet is for you, and we have enough copies, so I'm sure we can send you one. This is just under 30 pages, and it's yours entirely free of charge in return for your contribution of any size to Truth Radio. We need your support. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. Ask for the booklet entitled Common Law.
Find out why our young people are asking so many questions next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Could it be true that we have unwittingly been telling our young people that Christianity is irrelevant? As I present the evidences for creation and explain to young people the problems with evolution, a similar pattern has emerged with each presentation. While the information is new to them, it rings true. Soon the questions start, and they begin to realize that they have been misled by those teaching evolution. Before long, though they have not been encouraging resentment, many of them begin to feel angry that they have been misled by their teachers. When I have finished, many of them surround me to ask more questions and make comments. The words of one young man sum up why they are so vitally interested. He told me, quote, "I just wish that my older brother had heard this message a couple of years ago. I talked with him a lot, and I just know that if he knew that the Bible had intelligent answers, he would not have left the church and hurt my parents so. In fact, until I heard you, I was ready to follow him," unquote. Other young people tell similar stories. They grew up learning about the creation of Adam and Eve in Sunday school. As they were exposed to evolution, they desperately wanted the Bible to offer an intelligent alternative to evolution. No one was there to offer it to them.
You are listening to Truth Radio. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California. That's Post Office Box 344. N-I-P-O-M-O, Nipomo, California, 93444. Write to us. Let me ask you, would you go to a fast food restaurant for filet mignon and lobster? Then why do you bother going to a politician for